emotion has never come to me slowly. I found when I was a younger man, temper was not really hard for me to gender. With the passing of the years, I hope that I have been able to control that temper a bit more. As the years have come and gone, I have found that tears come more than they used to come when I was younger. But in spite of the fact that I'm easily excited, and I am, and I feel very deeply, I think, and I move to tears when I, because of emotion or the feeling of emotion. In spite of that fact, I never was one to shout. In the early days of my ministry, I think probably I would have been a little critical of someone who did. I no longer feel that way. For the passing of the years, something has happened to me. When it started happening, I wondered if I was getting senile. One of the kids, and by the way, thank you for all the sweet, precious notes and letters and cards and gifts. My, I've never had a birthday with so many kind expressions. One little girl wrote me a little note, and she said, "I love you, and I'm so sorry that you're so old." Well, sweetheart, I am too. But one person sent me a card, and the card said, "I was thinking about what to do for you on your birthday, and a little boll weevil crawled up to me and said, 'Why don't you give him a birthday card?'" And so I listened to the little weevil, and I thought maybe I ought to give a birthday card. But then a big weevil came up to me and said, "Why don't you give him a present?" And I was contemplating whether to obey the little boll weevil or the big boll weevil, whether to give you a card or a present. And then you turn the page, and it said, and so I chose the lesser of the two weevils. And I didn't say it. I just told you what the card said. And, but I received so many cards. But you know, with the passing of the years, I'm not sure what's caused it, but I find myself increasing in praise. When it first happened, as I started to say a while ago, I got worried. I was afraid I was getting senile or something. And I got a little worried because I, who never shouted, find myself sometimes shouting. And now, though I never do it in public, I do it quite often in private. I find myself sometimes about to explode because of how good God has been to me. And I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm a Baptist. I wish Baptists would shout. We have more to shout about than any Pentecostal has to shout about. Well, it's a lot better to have it and know it than to have it and hope it. I've gotten to the where every once in a while, I just, honestly, Thursday night, after I had mourned my 49th birthday all day, I was driving back from the college. I'd been out there, spending some time speaking to the girls in the chapel, the dormitory girls, and counseling with them for a while. And they had given me a little gift and a happy note and so forth. And I was driving back, and I was overcome with how good God's been to me. And I said, "Certainly, dear God, of all the people alive, you've been the best to me." And I found myself just praising God. And I said, "Hallelujah, glory to God." He said, "Well, how? Are you like that?" "Yeah, and you ought to be like that." David said, "I will praise the Lord," or "I'll praise him more and more." Now, that's interesting. David was old when he said that. Now, we know, like, well, these young college students that holler all the time, they'll get over this. David didn't. David said, "The older I get, the more I praise him. Older I get." David was sick. said, well, if I was well, I'd praise the Lord. No, David was sick and he wrote the 71st Psalm. And David said, I'll praise him more and more. He was old. He was sick. He was in trouble. The truth is, he was going through one of the darkest hours in his entire life. And David said, girls in the front, no talking. And David said, I will praise him more and more. The Bible has so much to say about praise to the Lord. For example, it tells us who ought to praise the Lord. In Psalm 74:21, it says that the poor and the needy praise the Lord. And in Psalm 119:164, the psalmist said, seven times a day I will praise the Lord. And in Psalm 147, verse 12, it says, praise the Lord for Jerusalem. And in verse 11 of 148, it says, kings and princes and judges ought to praise the Lord. And in Psalm 71, verse 14, I will praise thee more and more. And in Psalm 63, verse 3, my lips shall praise thee. And in verse 5, my mouth shall praise thee. In Psalm 67, verse 3, let the people praise thee. And in Psalm 67, verse 5, let all the people praise thee. And in Psalm 148, in verse 2, let all his angels praise him. And in Psalm 148, it says the sun should praise him, and the moon should praise him, and the stars should praise him, and the fish should praise him, and the dragons should praise him, and the animals should praise him, and the hail should praise him, and the snow should praise him, and the insects should praise him. And then David finally said in Psalm 107, let everything that hath breath, let him praise the Lord. Well, Leah said in Genesis 29:15, I will praise the Lord. In Isaiah 25, verse 1, Isaiah said, I will praise thy name. In Jeremiah 33:11, it says, praise the Lord of hosts. In 2 Chronicles 29, verse 30, it says, the Levites sang praises to our God. And Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9, show forth the praises of our Lord. Now, why praise the Lord? Psalm 103, verse 3, for forgiveness and for healing. In verse 4, for a useful life. In verse 4, for mercy. In Psalm 103, verse 5, praise him for food and for strength. In Psalm 147, verse 8, for rain, for clouds, for grass. In verse 14, for peace. In verse 3, that he heals the broken hearts. In verse 2, that he loves the outcast. In verse 4, that he calls the stars by name. You know what we need? You know what most of you need? You need a good, old-fashioned baptism of praise to God. Reach up this morning sometime and feel your eyes and say, thank God I can see. I have in my Bible a letter. Listen to this sweet, sweet letter. It's from Dr. Billy Renstrom, who is a gospel singer for Evangelist Bill Rice, who's been blind over 30 years, blinded by a landmine in the battle in World War II. And listen to this letter. Dear Dr. Hiles, we've just returned from a revival campaign in Louisville, Kentucky, where we were with Dr. Bill and Kathy at the Faith Baptist Church. In spite of the riots, we had very good services with a number of decisions and so forth. Says, while we were there, I received a phone call from your office inviting me to come be with you on Sunday, November the 9th and Monday, November the 10th. Thank you for your invitation. Ruby and I will look forward to being there with you and your people. We enjoyed having you here at the ranch and so forth. Get this now. I'm sure you've heard about the wonderful thing that God has done for me. A whole new world has opened up to me. Last week, for the first time in my ministry, see, they found out some new surgery they could have, and this man had been blind for 30 years, a singer, said last week, for the first time in my ministry, I actually saw hands raised for prayer, and I saw folks walk the aisle to accept Christ as their Savior. I can't begin to tell you how full my heart is in gratitude to the Lord for his goodness to me. Even though I am still considered legally blind, what I see now is so much more than I've seen for 30 years. I am overwhelmed by it. Ruby and I go to the grocery store and spend an hour or so just reading labels. If they are large and in bold black, I can read them. Listen to this. For the first time, I've seen two of my children, Scott and Lorraine. And looking forward to the time that I will see my two married sons in Denver, and of course my two granddaughters. Thank you and your people for praying for me. Ah, isn't that good? Don't say I've been blind 30 years. and hadn't seen his own children, ought to say praise the Lord. Amen? Don't you think a fellow who's been seeing for the last 30 years and hadn't been blind ought to praise the Lord more? Don't you think a fellow who's never placed his eyes or didn't even know what his own children look like, and all of a sudden for the first time he can see his children, don't you think he ought to clap his hands and say praise the Lord? And don't you think somebody that has been seeing them all these years, and you saw them as babies, and you saw them took their first step, and you saw them as they played their first time, and you saw them crawl around the house, and you've seen them all these years, don't you think you ought to say praise the Lord? Oh, listen to me. What a wicked generation we must be. What a cold, backslidden people we must be. Two good eyes, two good ears, a strong body, strength to work, and a job to do. Americans, saved, on our way to heaven. Seems like to me we ought to spend our lives saying glory to God, praise the Lord, thank God, hallelujah. But David said, I'll praise him more and more. Now, we normally say, well, when that young fella gets older, he'll calm down. David said, that's not my case. David said, I'm getting stirred up the older and older I get. I praise the Lord more and more the older I get. Now, of all the people, how could David praise the Lord more when David was a lad out in the field attending the sheep? He would take his harp and play it and sing the praises of God. And when David became an adult, a middle-aged man, a young man, he wrote the Psalms, and the Psalms are filled with praises to God. And when the ark came back to Jerusalem, or came back to the homeland, and David saw the ark coming, he ran around the ark and clapped his hands and jumped up and down and said, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And he was so happy. And his wife, Michal, who was a wicked kind of a gal, she was Saul's daughter. David ought to have had enough sense not to marry Saul's daughter. But she looked at him out the window of the palace, and she said, look at that Pentecostal. Look at that, the king making a fool of himself. And David came back and said, Michal said, the ark is back, and the glory of God is back, and I'm so happy. Thank God. Hallelujah. And she said, oh, you made a fool of yourself, jumping up and down like one of the poor heathen. David said, I can't help it. I'm happy. And that David, the happiest, the sweet singing psalmist and the happiest one in the Bible. David gets old, and now his hair's turned to gray and white, and his hands tremble while he talks, and his shoulders are drooped, and behind him are many, many victories and many, many defeats. And yet David, in his old age, he says, I'll praise the Lord more and more, and I will too. And I thought about this on my 49th birthday. I praise God more today, 10 times more today than I did when I began preaching almost 30 years ago. How good God's been to me. How wonderful. I spent so much time on Thursday night especially just thinking how good God's been to me and how wonderful. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Oh, I want to thank him for his saving grace. But until then, I intend to praise him. Somebody said, how's the nut? Yeah, I'm a happy nut, though. Happy nut. Somebody, yeah, you just holler when you preach. I intend to keep on hollering when I preach. They said when I was 18, 19, 20, 22, 24, 25, you'll settle down someday. And the same crowd hears me, and they say, you ain't settled down a bit. I don't intend to settle down either. I intend to fight what I fought for 30 years. I intend to hate the dirty sin I've hated for 30 years. I intend to preach the Bible I've preached for 30 years. I intend to die with the convictions I've lived by for 30 years. And I intend to praise God as I always have. And I hope, I'd like for the day to come here in First Baptist Church. I wouldn't want anybody to get up and run around here while I'm preaching. I wouldn't want anybody to stop the preaching by screaming and hollering too much. But I hope that they'll come. I used to see old Ken Cunningham out there, one of our men, who couldn't read. And he got saved. And he said, oh, God, I'd love to read the Bible. I'd love to read the Bible. And one day he looked at the Bible, and God taught him how to read miraculously and immediately. He never took a lesson in reading in his life. And all of a sudden, God let him read the Bible. And Ken Cunningham used to sit out there in the early days, and he'd swell up while I was preaching. He'd go, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish you were that way. I wish this morning everybody in this room would all of a sudden feel the blessings of God swelling up in your soul. And I wish you'd every once in a while have to clap your hands and say, praise the Lord. But you say, Brother Hiles, what would folks say? Folks would say, we're praising the Lord. That's what folks would say. And everything that hath breath, and especially those whose name's written in heaven. Jesus said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Listen, for me, for me, for me, for me. There's a mansion there for me up in that land so bright and grand. In the promised land I'll take my stand. Oh, come with me, for I won't be back, you see. If anybody's going to be happy up there, it's me, 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 said the writer. David said, I praise the Lord more. And he did. If you'll read the early Psalms that David wrote, he didn't praise the Lord so much. But the last five Psalms, Psalm 146, he says, praise the Lord five times. Psalm 147, he says, praise the Lord seven times. Psalm 148 says, praise the Lord 11 times. Psalm 149 says, praise the Lord six times. And Psalm 50 reaches a peak on the last Psalm, 13 times, he says, praise the Lord. Now, could you indulge me in my folly for a few minutes? Could an old man tell you what David meant? Could a fellow who's going to be 50 years old? Several months after Dr. Billings is going to be 50 years old, could a fellow tell you what David meant? I think I know. I think I can see it in my own life. I hope you can in yours. I think I can see the older I get, I want to praise him more and more. I think the first reason David praised the Lord more and more, I think he had more to recount. He had more to recount. As a young man, you don't have all the great victories to review. And remember, David's an old man. I love David. I love him. I've cried more over David than anybody in the Bible. I love David. To me, one day, I was sitting in my office reading the Bible. I was reading about David, and David stayed home when he should have been out fighting the battle and looked out the window and saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And I got down to the part, I read it hundreds of times, I got down to the part where David was about to look out the window, and you know, Brother John, before I knew it, I screamed, hey, David, don't look! It was so real to me. I love David. I love him. And I think I know what he meant when he said, when he got older, I'm older now. I'm not a young preacher anymore. I feel young, but I have more to recount. David, as an old man, looked back and he remembered that time when God gave him strength to kill that bear with his bare hands. And God gave him strength one time to kill a lion with his bare hands. He looked back over the time when he took that slingshot and hurled it toward the head of Goliath and became the victor over the Philistines and stood up and on Goliath with the victor. And Dave says, I praise him more and more. Dave remembers how he was protected from Saul. He looks back over his life and he says, I will praise the Lord more and more. And Thursday, I look back over my life, 49 blessed, wonderful years, and all the battles that God has seen me through. I relive the early days when I was a little boy and Dad was a drunkard and Mom and I were so poor and hungry most of the time, and how God provided. And I remember how I went off to college and didn't have enough money to pay the tuition, and how God provided. Remember how all these battles, how many people have said, oh, get that house, fella, we'll kick him out. How many times that's happened and how good God's been to me. I remember that night when Jim Lyons woke me up and said, preacher, said a tornado just hit our building in Texas and blew the top off the educational building, and how good God was through all of that. And I remember the time we had the fire here at this place, and I stood just about where I am right now, about over here, and the wall was right here to this building, and I cried till I couldn't cry anymore. And we met the next morning, and no place for the nurseries and no place for Sunday school, and two and a half of our buildings destroyed by fire, and the rest of the buildings damaged with the smoke and the fire. And I recounted how good God's been to me. Oh, listen, this morning I want to say, praise the Lord. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How good God's been to me. And I can say with David, I will praise him more and more. I think there's another reason why David said, I'll praise him more and more. I think he said it because there's more forgiveness and more mercy with the passing of the years. Dr. Billings, you and I are the same age. We have a lot in common because we know something about how our lives have followed somewhat of a similar pattern in many cases. And the older you get, don't you realize how less perfect you are and how much weaker you are? Do you realize, older you get, how much more sinful you are? I realize the same thing. I realize how much more sinful you are, Doc, the older I get. David looks back and he remembers that time. He remembers Bathsheba and he remembers Uriah. And David looks back over his life and he says, God forgave me, thank God. And then he says, I will praise him more and more. And I can truthfully say this, I see my own mistakes the older I get. When I was a young preacher, not so much. But now I see more and more. There's so many words I'd like to take back. There's so many things I wish I hadn't have done. I don't mean I've got a bunch of wild oats. I've never tasted liquor and never gone the deep sin. But I'm thinking about the mistakes I've made and the words I've said. And there's sometimes a critical tongue and sometimes an unkind thought and sometimes a little bitterness crept in through the years. And I can say with David, thank God his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Thank God. I'll praise him more and more. Why? Because I have more to recount and because more mercy and forgiveness has been given through the years. There's a third reason, and that is because David said, I praise him more and more. He was closer to heaven then. Heaven's getting closer. May I use my mother today as an illustration? One by one, in mother's family, lately they've been taken. 2 weeks ago today, I announced that mother's only sister-in-law left. Her brother's wife, Aunt Octa, suddenly was taken. And now Uncle Basil, he's the oldest, he's in heaven. And Aunt Gera, his wife, she's in heaven. And now Uncle Roy, mother's favorite brother, is in heaven. And his wife, Aunt Octa, is in heaven. And now mother's brother, Uncle Harvey, is in heaven. And his wife, Aunt Jimmy, is in heaven. And now my dad's gone into eternity and he's gone. And of the four brothers and sisters and their husbands and wives, mother's the only one left. She called me Friday, I think it was, and said, son, did you know Uncle Toady? He's one of my favorite uncles. Great, big, stalwart young man. I always loved to go to his house when I was a boy. She's Uncle Toady died, and he's gone. And mother's here, and she understands this, and I can understand a little quiver in her voice. And I said, now, mother, don't you get your mind on it now. I said, get your mind on something else. But it doesn't take a smart man to know that when you're almost 88 years of age, everybody else is gone. It doesn't take a smart man to know that if the normal takes its place, soon she'll be joining them in the city where the days never clouded. And thank God, where nobody ever cries and no baby ever gets cancer. And no child ever gets leukemia, and no husband ever drops over with a heart attack, and nobody ever goes off and leaves an orphan child, and no wife ever comes and says, I can't make ends meet. How can I rear my children? Thank God. I'm so glad there's a heaven today. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. We used to sing an old song, I dream of a place that's called heaven. 'Tis made for the pure and the free. A haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. And the closer, mother said the other night to me. She said, son, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad I got to live to see your ministry. And I'm glad too. But oh, thank God, the closer you get, the more homesick you get. And I said to mother this morning, don't you fret, Mama. Don't you fret. Don't you fret. If today your life were taken, you'd be with Uncle Harvey and Aunt Jimmy and Uncle Roy and Aunt Octa and Uncle Toady, I think, was saved, and all the others. Oh, they tell me of a land far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away.
Oh, they tell me of a land where no storm clouds fly.
Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day.
Oh, the land of the unclouded day.
Oh, they tell me of a land far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Listen to me today. Listen to me. Thank God there's a heaven this morning. Thank God.
And the older you get, the older David got,
the more he could rejoice. He didn't say, I'll gripe more and more. Some of you gripers, God pity you. I just don't get treated right. Oh, that's the silliest thing in the world, complaining.
Nobody has the right to complain. If your name is written in heaven,
rejoice. You have no right to gripe or complain.
Rejoice!
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've told this time and time again, but it's the sweetest illustration for this. This week, Dr. Robertson called me from Chattanooga and invited me to come and speak there, and I won't go into that. But it reminded me of one time he called me on the telephone, and he said, Dr. Hiles, would you come and dedicate the Weigel Music Building or Center on the campus of Tennessee Temple College? And I said, Dr. Robertson, when? He said, I want you there on a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday. And I said, hold it, Dr. Robertson. I've never gone on Sunday just like you are. And Dr. Robertson said, if I would come and preach for you, would you come down and preach for me that Sunday? I couldn't believe it. I said, this is Lee Robertson, isn't it? He said, yes, it is. This is Lee Robertson. That's right. And I said, are you sure? I heard what you said. You will leave your church and come to Hammond to preach for me. If I will come and preach for you and dedicate the Weigel Music Center. That's right. That's right. This is right. And so I said, okay. If you'll do it, I'll do it. And so I went down and preached. I preached a sermon called Harps on the Willow Trees, or Sing the Lord's Song in a Strange Land. And we dedicated the music center on a Friday night. I think it was Friday night. And after it was over, we went outside, and in front of that big music center, the mayor was there, and they cut the ribbon. And we toured the music center. And back in the back of that music center was an apartment for Dr. Weigel. Dr. Weigel, did he live to be 100 years old or not? Almost 100. Oh, my. I saw him right here in this pulpit in the old building one day speaking. And he looked up and he said, I think I can see the angels. And he shouted and clapped his hands. And so after it's all over, they made an apartment back in the back for Dr. Weigel. And I went back in the back. I wanted to thank him. He had asked for me, God bless him. He had asked Dr. Robertson if I would bring the dedication message for the new building. And I wanted to go back and see him. I started to knock on the door. And I heard a commotion in his room. And so I waited. And I heard some bed springs making noise. Sounded like bed springs. And I heard hands clapping. And I heard furniture moving. And then I heard somebody say, Hallelujah! Glory to God! Praise the Lord! And I leaned outside the door and heard that old voice, over 90 years of age, been preaching for many, many years. I heard that old voice shouting praises to God. And after a while, I wanted to see him, so I knocked on the door. And Dr. Weigel came to the door. He was barefooted. And he had tears streaming down his cheeks and had a look of heaven on his face. And I said, Dr. Weigel, what are you doing? And he looked up at me and he said, Dr. Hiles, I'm just rehearsing for heaven, that's all. I'm just rehearsing. A lot of you folks have to learn how to shout when you get there. You won't know. Joe Boyd and Ida. Joe's dad was a preacher. He's in heaven now. Old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preacher. And he was on his deathbed and was sleeping in the room next to Joe and Edith on his deathbed. And they thought he'd die any minute. And one night, everything had been still for so long. And one night, in the middle of the night, they heard a commotion in the bedroom. And Edith said, Joe, I guess he's dying. And he had been almost in a coma out of his head most of the time. And so Joe got up and tiptoed toward the door to see if the old man was finally going on to heaven and struggling for breath. He cracked the door and he saw something precious. He saw his old preacher dad, just about to go to heaven, standing up in the middle of the bed, preaching on the grace of God. Just preaching away. Just preaching away. I think I know what he meant. I think I know what he meant. David said, it was wonderful back yonder when I was a lad. And it was wonderful. But he said, with the passing of the years, because of all I have to relive and because of all God's mercy and forgiveness and because I'm closer to heaven, he said, I'll praise him more and more. I think there's another reason David said it. David said it because he knew him better. He knew him better. You know, you young folks, there's something that happens to a person just because he gets older and keeps on walking with God that you can't understand until you get older. But Jesus becomes sweeter and dearer. And his fellowship. I was talking yesterday morning with Dave about his wedding. And we're talking about the attendance at the wedding. Maybe you don't know it, but Dave and what's her name? Paula. I don't think he's chosen the girl yet, but they're going to get married on January 16th. And he was talking about his attendance. And you know, I was amazed. I said, well, Dave, who are your best friends? And did you know that it hit me and Dave, I assured him too, that he's so busy, he doesn't have any personal life, private life much. And he loves everybody. And it dawned on me that's sort of the way a preacher is. A preacher, everybody loves him or hates him, everybody knows him. But not much as far as personal friendships are concerned. And I got to thinking about Dave and all the years ahead of him. And I said, thank God that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Oh, listen, the older, the longer I live, and the longer I preach, and the longer I walk with God, the more I say, hallelujah, I know him better. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus set me free. He's a wonderful Savior to me. And what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. For many years, I've gotten up in the morning, every morning, wherever I am, and open the drapes and look out. Usually it's before daybreak, and look up to the sky and say, Jesus, I wish you'd come back today. I'd sure love to see you today. And I would. God knows it's true. I'm not much of a Christian, but I want to see Jesus. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Oh, I want to thank him for his saving grace. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. I'll bravely run the race till we see Christ. Amen. And David said, I'm getting closer home now. I'm getting closer home. I'm going to see Jesus. And he said, I'll praise the Lord more and more. And may I say this, another reason I think David praised him more and more, Jesus needed it more. God needs more praise today. Read the magazines. Don't read them. Just read about them. Cursing God's name. Look at a magazine stand. Bunch of dirty, wicked, playboy, penthouse magazines. Filthy as hell itself. Garbage. Filth. And if anybody here is going to read that kind of garbage, get your name off the roll of First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. Now, Jesus needs his name praised. One of our college students was out soul winning yesterday in Chicago. And he saw a fellow on the street, a couple. That couple, he stopped them and said, do you know if you died you'd go to heaven? And they said, no. And the college student said, would you like to know? And told him how to be saved. And there on the street, in public, right out in open public, this couple both received Christ as Savior. and after they got saved, they reached in a pocket or a purse or something, and a fellow pulled this out. He said, "I think I want. I'm going to give this to you now. This is a watch with diamonds all the way around the face of the watch. The price says $995 on it." He said, "I just stole this from Marshall Field Company a while ago. And now that I'm saved, I don't want to keep it." And then he reached in his, he pulled out this and opened it. "I'm looking at the biggest diamond I've ever seen. 3.5 carats. The price on this diamond says $3,000. He said, "I just told it a while ago from Marshall Field." He said, "Now that I'm saved, I want to give it back." Praise the Lord. I decided to take the little diamond I've got and put it in here and wear this one and send the other one back and say, "He stole this from you." But 3.5 carats. Ah, boy. It's a wonderful thing when you know your sins are forgiven. Think what it did to that fellow within 5 seconds after he was redeemed with the blood of Christ. He gave all of this back. Now, I don't know what to do with this now that you know it's up here. I'm scared to let it go. I don't know. I don't want to leave it here. And there's nobody on the platform I'd trust with it. Doc, suppose you keep it. Brother Sully, would you keep an eye on Doc, please? Brother Ray, would you keep an eye on Brother Sully? And Brother John, I know your eyes are shut during the sermon. Would you listen for Brother Ray? Can you praise the Lord this morning? Can you praise Him? Do you feel maybe, and I ask God to let you feel it, do you feel maybe, does your heart tingle just a little bit? I mean, is it swelling up just a little? Can't you look back over the years and see how good God has been? What you say with the house, God took my little baby out of my arms and the baby was dead, been gone for years. You ought to praise the Lord. The baby's got a heaven to go to. But you say, Brother Hiles, my wife was taken and my husband was taken and in middle life or early life, and I've lived alone all through these years. I want you to thank God that your husband or wife's been in heaven with Jesus all through these years. Thank God. Listen. There is not a need you have that our God has not supplied or provided for. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, my blessed Redeemer. Praise Him. Praise Him ever in joyful song. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise ye above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Can you see old David? Can you see him? His mind is filled with memories of yesteryear. He's an old man now. His eyes are dimmed. His shoulders drooped. His hair is white. He begins to relive. He thinks, remember that bear?
I took him in my own bare hands and killed him.
Praise the Lord. And that lion, why, I played with him like he's a kitty cat. And that day when that big old loud mouth, Wilt Chamberlain Goliath, stood up there in front of me. The big old blubber mouth. As Brother Vineyard said, 90% was mouth. And I got those 5 stones. I got 5 because he had 4 brothers, and I thought maybe they might want some of what he got. And I recall how I took that sling, and I took that slingshot. Hey, there's it! When that stone hit him in the head, I'll never forget that thud. Why, it even registered on the Richter scale. And that big old blabbermouth fell on the earth, and David starts to praise the Lord. And David said, I remember how God forgave me. Oh, He washed me with hyssop weed. He restored unto me the joy of his salvation. And he washed me as white as snow. He created in me a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within me. Oh, blessed be God, David could say, praise the Lord.
I will praise him more and more and more and more.
And then finally David said, why ain't anybody else praising the Lord? Yeah,
you tulips over there, clap your petals and praise the Lord. Hey, he said, everybody, last breath, praise the Lord.
He said, you cockroaches, praise God. He said, you bed bugs, you just praise God, you got some beds to bug.
Oh, you laughing hyenas, praise the Lord. Hey, you buzzards flying through the sky, flap your hands and flap your wings and praise the Lord.
David said, let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Somebody has said, not close. Somebody has said, the whole world is a mighty pipe organ with many keys. And man is the one who sits at the keyboard and plays. Let us play praises to him. Praise the Lord in his firmament. Praise the Lord with the cymbals. Praise the Lord with the organs. Praise the Lord with your voices. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we don't praise you like we ought to. I'm afraid too many times we don't feel it like we should. Oh, my. Our bodies are not hungry today. Most of us are well. Most of us have families that are well. Most of us can see. Most of us could hear the beautiful music this morning. Most of us will be able to go home today in a nice car. Most of us are saved. And all of us ought to sing, when upon life's billows we're tempest tossed, when we are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. God, thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that thy people, and in a sense my people, shall be filled with praise today. And I pray that those that are not thy people shall come to know thee. Our heads are bowed. Why don't you just say, I'm going to start more than a 10-week campaign. I'm going to praise the Lord all the time. God's been good to me. Why don't you say it? Why don't you say, oh, God, forgive me for a cold heart. Forgive me for a tongue that talks to everybody but never praises you. I wonder how many this morning would say, Brother Hiles, I don't even know God. I know he gave his son for me, and I know Jesus died for me, but I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I wish I did. I want to go to heaven. I'd like to be saved. But I don't know that I am. Brother Hiles, pray for me that I might be saved. On the lower floor, the main floor, I wonder how many would say, pray for me, Brother Hiles. I want to be saved and know it. Would you lift your hand, please? On the lower floor, just raise it way up high. God bless you. Who else? Way up high, and I'll see it, and I'll pray for you. Who else would say, pray for me? Pray for me on the lower. Yes, God bless you. Yes, and you. Who else on the lower floor? Pray for me. God bless you, ma'am. God love you. Who else on the lower floor would say, include me in the prayer? God bless you, son. Who else on the lower floor? Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you, sir. God love you. Who else? On the lower floor. God bless you. I see you, sir. Who else on the lower floor? Pray for me. God bless you, pal. And God bless you, dear lady. I see you. God bless you. And God bless you, lady. God bless you. Who else? God bless you, son. And God bless you, sir. Amen. Amen. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, pray for me when you pray. I want to be saved and know it. Would you lift your hand? Let's go upstairs in the balcony. Who in the balcony would say, pray for me? God bless you, little one. And God bless you, sir. And God bless you, fella. Who else would say, pray for me? I don't know that I'm saved. God bless you. And God bless you, sir. Who else upstairs? God bless you. Yes, ma'am, I see you. God bless you. Who else upstairs? Pray for me. God bless you. I see your hand. Who else? Who else? God bless you, son. Our Heavenly Father, there's so many. Dear Lord, it must be that people, when somebody praises the Lord, they want it too. I pray they'll get it today. I pray today every one of these shall leave with praises to God swelling in his soul. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Everyone is very still now. Right where you are, if you raised your hand, would you pray this prayer? Would you say, dear God, forgive my sins and save my soul? Say it. And say this. I do now receive Jesus as my Savior.